So Amy asked me to share a little bit on each step and how you work each step every day throughout your life. Because I don't know about you, but the steps seems like what Tom was sharing, like this huge mountain that we have to climb, and you're never going to get it done. And I remember my first sponsor telling me, you know what, don't worry about your fourth step, because you may get hit by a bus before that ever happens. And it's just, it was great, because I never, before coming in program, I never finished anything, ever. And today, I don't finish a lot, but I finish more than what I did. And so, and it's because of the steps. And also, I want to, when I first came in a program, and I came in about 5 years ago, I would hear a lot of people talking about that they couldn't work the steps until they were abstinent. And that has not been my experience. And I just want to let people know that that's not a hard and fast rule, and that like nobody's going to come up to you and say, you're not abstinent, what are you doing? Because I always thought somebody was going to do that to me, you know? What are you doing? And nobody says that here. So it's amazing. It's amazing. So let me see. And for me, for myself, I kept working the steps. I was binging and purging, and I kept working the steps. Because that was the only thing I knew how to, that was this, I knew when I came here. I didn't stay here because I was like, I'm going to do this, I'm so happy. No, I stayed here because I have nowhere else to go. And that was the greatest gift ever. So, step one is we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. And so, I just wanted to go over step one. And if any of you guys are new, you may not know, but this is the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is the where our program comes from. And the solution isn't here. Not that there aren't many other ways that that can work. However, for myself, this is what has changed my life, because there's clear-cut directions. And I need that. And I don't know how to follow directions, so I come back here because it tells me how to follow it too. So step one for me is just saying, it's just admitting and having a little humility to say, you know what, I don't think I can do this. I've tried. I've also learned that step one is, once you made the decision to stop compulsively overeating, and you cannot keep that decision. Like, you keep going over and over again. So many times I kept going and saying, this is my last binge ever, no more sugar, no more flour, I'm done, I'm gonna weigh and measure from now on and be perfect. And right away again, then I'd be in the food. Maybe a couple days later, maybe an hour later. And so it's just saying that I cannot manage the decision to stay stopped, no matter what. And then, so step two is, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I actually, in my experience, I had a harder time with step two than step one, because I knew I was powerless. However, I didn't believe anything in this world could help me. I thought that it worked for you, but I did not believe it would work for me. So, I want to read just a little bit from page 45, We Agnostics, because the book addresses all of these issues that come up. Okay. So lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. So it says it right there. Black and white, and I need it real simple, because I complicate everything. So so I stopped looking Okay, and then step three is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. For me, two and three kind of go together because I didn't really believe in God. I didn't come from a family where that was acceptable. You just do things on your own, you get it through. And so I realized that that in reading this book and studying it, I guess, that my higher power is within me. And that's where it is. And to tap into it, I have to work step 11, which is prayer and meditation. So then we go on to step four, made a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. For me, how I work that on a daily basis is, am I being honest with myself? Is this a is something bothering me and I'm not willing to look at it? Because I didn't want to look at anything. You know, I ran and hid and lied from my feelings forever. So am I willing to look at it? What is really going on? And for me, it's picking up the phone and saying, this is really bothering me. It's embarrassing. I'm kind of ashamed of it. But this is really what's going on. Because these are the things I eat over, you know? I eat over my husband not doing what I want him to do. My coworkers saying things I don't like. That's what I eat over. And so I look at it and I see where my fear, my resentment, and where my selfishness is. Because for me, that's the root of my problems is my own selfishness. It's that I want everything my way and I want it now. And if you don't do it my way, then forget you. It was a wonder why I didn't have many friends before coming into the program. And then five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Well, as soon as I pick up the phone, I'm doing five because I'm talking to somebody. I'm getting it out. There's no hiding it. And also, that's why I think having a sponsor is invaluable, because a sponsor can check you and tell you, you know, your thinking may be a little cloudy here, because I can't tell. I'm sick. You know, especially in that moment, I can't tell. So, and then six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. For me, I just asked God to remove my selfishness. That's it. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So six and seven is works together. And also, after I call somebody and I tell somebody what's going on, I then resolutely turn my thoughts to somebody I can help. Because the last thing I need to do is keep thinking about myself and my problem. And that's all I want to do, is keep thinking about myself and my problems. And that's the last thing I need. So, and then eight is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. For me, with eight, I have to be real careful of what I'm doing. There's always a person involved. However, it's always my thinking. But that is the problem. So I need to be willing to make amends. There's not always, for me, a lot of times, I don't need to actually make an amends to somebody because I haven't really said anything. I've just made it all up in my head. And so I need to make sure that it's valid. And so nine is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And like my sponsor, I'm really grateful for, because she says, we don't run around and say I'm sorry to people. I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did that. Because that's what I did all the time as an addict, right? And nothing ever changed. I never changed. So now we change our behavior. And it's completely different than just saying I'm sorry. And also changing my behavior helps me change the way I think. And so I look at the situation a little differently. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So this is the big book shows us that we do this in the morning and at night. And we just go over our day. And I love to analyze everything, pick everything apart, and see what I haven't done. And that's the last thing I need to do. God really wants me to get on with the business of living. That's what I'm here for. So I just look at, you know, my day. Is there something that's really bothering me that I don't want to look at? Because that's That's my indication. I know there's something wrong because I don't want to look at it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So I started meditating in the mornings, and I do it for 5 minutes, and it has changed my life. And I had a sponsor once tell me she did it for 3 minutes, and I thought, okay, I can do that. Because if what I think of meditation is being in a room with, you know, extremely wonderful music, and there's a water feature, and I'm in a pose, and everything is, my brain is completely at peace and where I want to be, and that's not my life. You know, my life is chaotic, crazy, in my head, blah, blah, blah. So as soon as I wake up in the morning, I sit there in bed and I meditate, and that's it. And I ask God for his will for me. And I don't always want his will, you know? That's the funny part. I don't really want it, but I'm so happy once I do it, you know? And then having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And I think this is a huge, really, really important one, because you don't have to be perfect to be a sponsor. Sponsoring does not mean that you are a guru at anything. Actually, sponsoring, all it means is that you're willing to take some time out for someone else and you're helping yourself. And so to me, that is just such a huge thing. It's just for my recovery. It's just to get out of myself and being willing to. I have one sponsee right now, and she sponsors me as much as I sponsor her. I'm so grateful that I don't have to play this, like, this act where, or have airs about that I should know things that I don't, because she actually knows things that I don't. And I'm grateful for it. And everything that I tell her is something I need to hear. So that's why it works so well. And I'm just going to read this because it sums it up. Many of us explain what an order. I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guidelines to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And that's what I need to live by today. You know, it's just to keep growing, keep showing up. You know, I have to be honest, there's a part of me that I didn't really want to come today. But because I told people I was going to be here, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. And that's how I make commitments, because otherwise I'm not going to show up for anything in my life. I mean, if it was up to me, I would be in bed with tons of food and binging and purging all day long. And that's my idea of a good time. And for some crazy reason, I've learned through the steps in this book that God wants more for me in my life than what I want. And it's amazing. So I hope it wasn't too confusing or what I was saying. But actually, just to break it down real quick, when I have a resentment, a fear, or something that is going on in my head, I pick up the phone, I call my sponsor. First off, I say it in my head, God, please remove my selfishness, because it is my selfishness that is creating this issue. Then I tell her the problem. Then I resolutely turn my thoughts to somebody I can help. And for some reason, the problem disappears. And I don't know how or why, but it does. And I don't do it exactly like that every time. I don't. But I do it where I look at what I'm doing. I look at my part, you know, instead of looking at what other people are doing to me, you know, because the whole world can be wrong, and I'm in the bathroom throwing up, and I can't stop eating because the whole world is wrong, and I'm right. I don't want that, you know. I can be wrong, and then I can stay abstinent. So, thank you.